The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So just for the benefit of the recording, this is not a Dharma talk, and it's actually a conference talk that's being given at the Intersangha meeting 2011. Maybe it's a Sangha talk. It's a new category of talk. And we're sitting here at IMC with about almost 60 people from upwards of 30 groups. And it's a wonderful gathering of sanghas from around North America. So I'd like to share a little bit about what we're calling the Buddhist Insight Network, which is this thing that we're creating. And the hope is to form it into an actual organization that can then serve as a better support for all of us as we build our own individual sanghas. So it says right there in the Pali Canon that as long as sangha members, it actually says monks, but as long as sangha members meet in harmony, adjourn from their meetings in harmony, and conduct sangha business in harmony, their growth can be expected, not their decline. So this is a recognized activity of coming together as sanghas and using that as a way to promote our own development as well as the development of the Dharma. So that's really the vision for what we're working on. And we see that there's a potential for us here of forming a cooperative network that can be supportive, a container for our collective wisdom. I think we heard a lot about that in the comments this morning of wanting to connect with other people who could have something to share. A support structure also for insight teachers, and this is something a little bit more Western, is that we need to create the kind of structure that was already inherent in the monastic community of earlier to support the teachers that we have. And also this collective network can be a vehicle for our teachings in whatever form that takes to go outward to other communities or to the population at large. So this is just a little bit of an overview of how the talk will be structured. I'll begin with the shared vision that we're creating, a little bit more specifically what BIN can do practically, and then even more specifically the near-term activities that are being undertaken at this time. So beginning with the shared vision, this is a highly selective view of Theravadan Buddhist history. So it begins, and then there's a delay of a few centuries, and it moves to Southeast Asia, and then there's a delay of a bunch more centuries, and it jumps to the West. So I skipped a few steps. And of course, the West is meant to represent Europe also is going at the same time. So here we are, and in the West, it's been developing in a number of ways. You can see that over time, this is not specific necessarily, but it's been growing to be larger and larger. And then to begin connecting the groups together is really what we're doing now. And it's already happening. It's not that there aren't connections already and there aren't even affiliations and those sorts of things. The question is whether or not we can strengthen those and then begin to build them even more. So I would just challenge us to say that we ourselves are responsible for the development of Buddhism in the West. And there isn't, as we learn in our practice, there isn't some external authority that's telling us how to do this or dictating from outside how we do this. So it is really up to us to conduct ourselves in the way that we want to and to grow this in the way that it continues to offer the liberating potential that it has. So these are the things that can be offered by such a cooperative network. We have the collective wisdom. We also know that some insight groups at this time are in flux. So older groups are wanting to grow, and they need some help maybe in doing that wisely or in some guided way. And there are lots and lots of newer sanghas. All over the place, people are setting up new sitting groups. We're creating a lot of people through CDL, Fear Rocks Community Dharma Leader Program, who are starting their own programs. And it would be nice to have some way for them to grow and not have to reinvent the wheel every time. And there are a number of groups that are also in teacher transitions, who have transitioning from having one guiding teacher to having a teacher's council, or sometimes in reverse, they've had several teachers and they'd like to have just one. There's all kinds of things going on from which we could benefit with some collective wisdom. We also have created a number of mature insight practitioners over, 40 years of offering long-term retreats in this country and 30 years roughly or more of developing community sanghas. We really have people that have gifts to share, and they're ready to take the Dharma out and spread it to underserved populations, to younger people, to languages, in languages other than English, as we're noticing at this meeting. So the question is, how can we support these people to really reach their full potential and create the Dharma in the way that it has the maximum potential? This is a quote from the survey that we ran recently. Somebody actually wrote, "It feels like the time has come for such a network." That was their comment. And I found that inspiring, and I think this is a good time to mention that this idea is by no means new at this juncture. The idea of creating some kind of a structure for all of us has been around for about 10 years, as far as I know, and there have even been a number of attempts to do it, of people starting meetings and talking about things and creating documents. In fact, Spirit Rock did this rather seriously just a few years ago, but it hasn't until now somehow gathered enough momentum to have a group of people like this sitting in this room. So I feel like whatever we're doing is continuing a wave that began much earlier, and we can benefit from that earlier energy that's coming, and it's just so inspiring to see that it's actually beginning to happen and that the time has come for such a network. Another thing that Bin can do is to continue the wisdom tradition that we have while also supporting innovation. And what that means is we can be honest and say, okay, the founders and the first generation teachers that brought this back from Asia are aging, and some of them are beginning to retire, and all of them will eventually die. And so we need to continue the legacy of deep wisdom that they started. What are we going to do to go forward? In addition, later generation teachers, of which there are many more now, are adopting varying forms of livelihood. A lot of them are combining their teaching with paid work. And it would be nice to create some kind of a structure that helps with the livelihood of the younger, later generation teachers. I also see an opportunity for us to have an inclusive network that includes people who are teaching the Dharma in ways that are less traditional or that are not recognized as the same way that it was taught initially, and therefore, broadening out what we call the insight meditation movement, because not everybody necessarily feels included in it. There's a little bit of a sense of, I didn't get in on the ground floor, so I'm different, or I'm not part of the clique. At the same time, I think we should maintain some clarity about what the insight meditation tradition is, where it comes from. Let's not forget the Theravadan roots, and while we combine with other things, and this is one of those balances that's worked out dynamically by the people who are doing it. So by bringing forth the idea that we want both inclusion and clarity and some kind of definition, I hope that will help shape the conversations that we have about who we are. So we did conduct a survey. We wondered, what are people out there thinking? Through the early part of this year on SurveyMonkey, and we ended up with 127 completed responses. We tried to target people who were in leadership positions, and indeed you can see from the self-reported position that people offered, nearly half were teachers, and also we had a number of board members, and then other leaders. Not every group has a board, of course. And we had 8% who were general members. So overall, we felt like this was kind of the group that we were targeting, so that worked out well. We asked if people were from an incorporated center also, just to see, and found that 69% claimed that they were from a 501c3 incorporated center. But that still means that a good 30% were from unincorporated groups that are maybe smaller or just haven't made that decision yet. So just some demographics. Other demographics include the mix of regions that we touched. We asked people where they were from. And granted, we had quite a number from California, almost about a third. But there's a broad range, right? So we have, including international, we had 8% from outside the United States. So overall, you know, I don't know if this is representative overall of where the people are in insight groups, but at least at a sort of a top-level glance, it felt like it was an inclusive kind of survey. And one thing that we got out of that is we said, well, what do you think of this idea? What if we made a metta-sangha or whatever you want to call it that is a community for our insight meditation movement? Are you in general agreement with an idea like that? And you can see that we had 96% agreement, that was an overall good idea that people thought was promising. Now the devil is in the details, if we can use the word devil here. Yeah. Is this better? Okay. Very good. So overall, this felt like a real call of support. And one quote that I'd like to just highlight is that you have my support, encouragement, and gratitude for the foresight to develop an organization at this umbrella level with a vision for our larger community. So that was good to read. So let's look a little bit more specifically at the broad range of what BIN can do. There are three broad areas that could be covered. The first is support existing groups and teachers. That, you know, we have a huge number of people that are already doing this. Let's find specific ways to support them with information, with connections between each other, and possibly with financial support of some means. We have a way now, if we had an umbrella organization like this, we could share the financial resources from the groups that have that to offer to the groups that are in need. Second is the supporting the creation of new groups, so allowing this to spread in some organic way. And then thirdly is maybe to look out and engage with society in the wider world in some way through compassionate action, through other sorts of things, and we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail as it goes along. So let's look more specifically. So ways that BIN can support existing groups include creating and supporting electronic media, various things, communities, websites. Sorry, I have a build on this one, so I have to stand here. Holding in-person meetings. Here we are. Training and education for Sangha leaders to share the Dharma and build communities. So this would be things like resources for community building, diversity workshops, conflict resolution or mediations offerings to groups that have need of that kind of thing, trainings of other types. Compiling resources, why not start a compilation of not only traditional texts, but things that we consider relevant for the way we're teaching Dharma in the West. Certainly we should have, for example, at just a very simple level, we should have a list of every book that's been written by the Dharma teachers that we recognize in our tradition. We can include scholarly publications, maybe related secular research. How about a database of mindfulness research and the benefits that that's been shown to have? We would be the perfect organization to compile something like that and be able to offer that. And then also some kind of financial support, as I mentioned earlier, for groups themselves, for projects that they're undertaking, and other vehicles that we're creating. And a lot of this doesn't have to be, as you can see, these are not things that don't exist already. So a lot of what we can do can be to compile or combine or in some way support things that already exist, bring them together and disseminate them more efficiently than if everyone who created one of these little things is trying to disseminate it themselves. So we've already started. We do have the newsletter. I think all of you are on the list for the newsletter. So that's our very first little beginning. You can see that we've had in their little profiles of a number of groups now so that we can start to introduce ourselves to each other and learn who we are. And we also are holding in-person meetings so far, a couple of them, and we hope to have more. So the creation of new groups, this includes tools and resources for starting a group. I mentioned before why reinvent the wheel every time. We could easily create a database of here's what you need to do to set up a website. Here's some considerations for choosing a space to rent. Here's 501c3 support of here's all the forms you'll need to fill out. And even better, here's Ruby's phone number. Okay, maybe not right there. And you know, written and audio teaching resources so that a group right away would have access to a curriculum for a basic meditation course, for example. Here's the 5-week curriculum, and you can plug in and set that up for your group. And there are already a number of audio resources that could easily be adapted. In the realm of broader engagement, connecting and supporting groups who want to engage in compassionate action projects. You know, maybe there's 3 different groups, and in each group there's 2 people who want to do something, but that's not enough to really do it in their own group. But if those 6 were to combine, they could create something together that they couldn't have done separately. Public education about insight meditation, about Theravadan Buddhism, some kind of outreach. And generally, we envision that BIN will be structured as what's called a council of religious organizations. So that would be our kind of our role. And that then gives the possibility of interfacing with other types of religious organizations and presenting a face for at least this type of Buddhism. I want to talk in a little bit more detail about the area of compassionate action and social change, because this was something that was touched on in the survey. We asked a number of, you know, we suggested a number of things that BIN might do, and would you be interested? And we got some very interesting comments about that. And I'm feeling that after having read it all and thought about it, that the way it was approached on the survey, we didn't go deeply enough that I feel like I can say broadly what people were thinking or not thinking, but we got some widely ranging comments. For instance, we got people who said, I think what you've written is okay, but it doesn't go far enough. I think we should have an explicit dedication right from the beginning that we're devoted to social change, and there should be a whole arm, and that's our purpose. And then we had other people who said, I think it's okay what you wrote about, you know, having some kind of compassionate action arm, but if it includes any type of political action, I'm out. I'm not at all interested. I think, you know, that's not appropriate for us. So there's a range. And then we had also people who said, well, you know, internally we need to really have this kind of structure to BIN. And we had other people who said, I don't want any structure to BIN. If you have any kind of a top-down thing, I'm out. You know, so there's, you know, there's going to be some dialogue about how this gets created. And it hasn't been created at all yet in a detailed way. So we have the possibility of having those conversations. I think there is value to having something at an umbrella level, and I don't think there's any even anything to dictate from necessarily. You know, what would be the top down? Do we have anything that we could say as an authority within our body yet? I don't think so. So I found one quote that really captured my interest, and it's written here, that goes more into the realm of it touches on a lot of dimensions. So let me just read it. It says, we have not found a way to reach consensus and to bridge activists who want to lever the Sangha in support of their causes, not necessarily demonstrating any particular Buddhist qualities in the activism, and members who want to retreat from social distress when they come to Sangha. So this is an issue that a lot of groups touch on, and I want to just spend a few minutes. I'm going to go beyond probably the meaning of what the person here said. I'm using it as a vehicle to talk a little bit more broadly. And this touches on, these may be said to be kind of extreme positions. They're both actually written in a little bit negative light, you know, people. But if we were to pull them back and say them in a more soft way, these could represent the path of engaged Buddhism and the path of seclusion, both of which are supported in the original teachings. But I think in the West, sometimes we emphasize maybe the engaged part a little bit more. But these are both very valid expressions of our practice, And we may know from our own practice that there are times when we're more engaged and times when we're more secluded, and that the flow in and out of using the Sangha as a way to connect outward and be in the world is wonderful. And then there's also a way where it's really nice just to come to Sangha and it's quiet and you don't have to carry in your identity from the outer world and whoever you are, and you can just be there and absorb the teachings and have a more inward focus. So these are absolutely not opposed, and there's no need to choose between them, either within the structure of Bin or within any given group. So I want to emphasize that this is a sort of a holistic picture. So the question is, how would Bin relate to this kind of overall idea? There are a number of potential roles. We could help individual sanghas navigate this space, because this is a cause of conflict in some sanghas, is how we're going to relate to the outer world and how much we're going to do and that sort of thing. So there could be a role for a larger organization to help mediate some of those conflicts. It can also provide support if a group has decided, yeah, we're on the engaged path right now, or even individuals within a group. There could be support from Bin for existing projects. And also, it's well known, it's very common in religious organizations of this type to engage in some kind of social action. And Buddhism hasn't always connected with the larger world of that kind of action that's happening. So this could be an interface for Buddhist groups to enter in with other groups of different religions that are doing the same kind of thing. And there may be even other options. I just wanted to kind of map this out, that this is an area that's going to be talked about a lot more, you know, as we evolve. So looking specifically at some near-term activities, electronic community will certainly be important since we're so spread out. So we hope soon to have a website and discussion forums up. We imagine that the first content could include resources for founding a new group, because that's something that a lot of people have thought about, and it's something of immediate value that we could put there. A discussion forum, so this goes to what Muriel was saying earlier, to continue the conversations from here. We would like to have that immediately on the website, and if we're lucky, it could happen within the next week or two, so that would really continue the momentum. And then, of course, we'll post the notes, probably in a private space, so it wouldn't necessarily be on the whole internet. But this will, of course, continue to evolve. And then a retreat database, Sangha database, classes and courses. Now, of course, this already exists through Inquiring Mind, and there's definitely a hope that we can continue that conversation here at the meeting and find a way to share that more easily with everyone. And this is a good example of leveraging something that already exists and helping to expand it. And then we have the newsletter ongoing, and that will probably expand into something else. So meetings, we have the in-person meetings that are already happening. I would value your input on ideas for how to continue this in the future. The location is up in the air. We'll have a post-meeting survey that includes some questions about this. One idea that I have, and this is totally just still an idea, is how about regional meetings? I know it's a little bit hard to go to a meeting that's in one place. Wherever we put it, it's going to be far away for somebody. I think there's a lot of value to this overall meeting, and I don't think that should end anytime soon. And yet, you know, why not connect with sanghas that are close by and have smaller regional meetings also? So we'll think about that. So thinking about these 501c3 sorts of things, we are in the process of incorporating Bin. And we've what that means is that we've sent in the articles of incorporation to Sacramento saying that we want to create a nonprofit. And it's in the process right now of being reviewed and filed, mostly just because it takes a long time to get through that. So we have four founding board members, myself, Mike Birch from Inside LA, Diana Clark and Lori Wong. Diana and Lori are here. Mike was not able to make it. But, you know, we were just the people who were got together, put together the initial articles of incorporation and sent them in. This is not at all the initial board of the whole group. So we are seeking now other board members for the founding board, the full founding board. And we have talked about a number of useful qualities, but it's, you know, it's going to be kind of an organic process. But of course, somebody who's interested in BIN's vision and mission would be useful. The ability to work well in a group, we're committed to using Buddhist values and interaction of right speech and other in within our organizational structure. Somebody who has a strong practice and specific skills could be useful. Because this is a virtual organization, you know, we need people who are familiar with the computer and willing to, and also have some time availability. And then beyond individual qualities, the full board will be assembled with an intention toward having it be representative and inclusive of the sanghas of our tradition in the West. So in all dimensions that that means. So the process is that we have three of us here. If anybody would like to speak more about this with us or make a nomination at this meeting, that would be fine. And also, if you'd like to contact any of us privately afterwards, but you know, we three would be your contacts for that. And we're casting a wide net and would like to really get this organization to have some people who are inspired and ready to take it forward to the next level. So, another quote. A happy thing is concord in the Sangha. One who assists in making harmony, loving concord and righteousness does not fall away from freedom. So that's us. We're here making Sangha, making harmony. And it's certainly our hope that what we're doing not only furthers our own individual practice, but supports the practice of many others through the strengthening of our sanghas and of our ability to teach the Dharma here in the West. Thank you. I would be happy to answer any questions or any comments that you have. Jim, yeah, well, why don't we use a microphone?
There's a couple of terms that you've used there, Theravada and insight. Mm-hmm. Are those intended to be sort of synonymous? Because I think Theravada may include something more than just insight, but insight is vipassana, which is kind of what's used to identify this movement more traditionally. My preference would probably be to move towards Theravada, but is that an intentional change?
It was intentional to include a number of different terms, and I'm actually really glad for your comment because I think we don't necessarily know what we want to call ourselves. Now, the Buddhist Insight Network, I haven't gotten any objections to that, and that has insight in it. It doesn't say the Theravadan Buddhist Insight Network, but it could. It just does not as easy to say. So I think these are relevant issues. And the other thing is that if we were to say Vipassana, for example, first of all, that's a difficult word for a lot of people to pronounce, and it sounds kind of foreign, so I'm not sure how Western that sounds. It's also the term that's used by the Goenka groups to identify themselves. Not that they're not included necessarily, but they actually already have a pretty good network going, and I think it'll be an interesting question how we interface with that group in the future. So the language is important from the beginning, and what's most important is that we come up with something that most people can agree on in some way, but I think there's also a little bit of value to definite vagueness of saying, of not trying too hard to define exactly what this is and what this isn't and dividing it up, to walk that line between inclusion and clarity, as I talked about earlier. So thank you for that point. I think that it should be discussed. Yeah. Kitty. Oh, could you wait for the microphone?
This is a fine detail question after, you know, an amazing broad description of where this is going. But last year, there was a, WordPress group that was set up, and I sort of lost the thread on that. Lori set that up. And I got stumped when I guess the conversation started to happen online after it was already set up about, is this okay for all the other board members or whoever wasn't here? Are they invited into this or aren't they? So before we leave these 2 days, I think it would be really important if there's a website or whatever. Is there some limit on who gets access to these things, or is it broadly open to our entire sanghas or whatever?
That would be great. Thank you for bringing that up, because if we want to continue conversations from inter-sangha, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's literally just the people who are here, but we should be sensitive to the types of conversations that we're having here, in that most of the people here are board members or teachers or leaders in some way of their groups, in fact, nearly everyone. And if, for example, you wanted to bring up something about your sangha and be able to bounce it off of your peers, but not necessarily something in a way that you would talk about with the group itself, then we want to make sure that that forum was only inclusive of those types of people. And I would hope that that might be possible, actually. That's a little bit of the purpose here, is for us to communicate as peers in about issues in our sanghas. So maybe this is also a time to mention that maybe some of the things you hear here exercise some wise speech about what is repeated out, you know, when you leave to your groups when you get back. So maybe what we could say as a very initial idea, I'll just put this out here, and then we have 2 days to talk about it if people have other ideas, is that we'll immediately sign on everybody who's at the meeting. And every group can choose for yourself if you would like to include, for example, the rest of your board or something like that. And it will be your judgment of who you think would be most appropriate to continue the conversations from this group. So we'll start right away embodying the fact that we have responsibility for how we continue these conversations. If someone has other specific suggestions, please bring them up during the conference. Yeah, could you use a microphone? Sorry, because we're,
You mentioned eventually putting up the notes from this meeting here. So is there somebody taking notes?
Yeah,
officially,
well, we don't have an overall secretary, but one of, I'll just make the announcement now, is that every session should at the beginning designate a scribe for the session. And we hope that way to spread out the responsibility of doing that. And that person will take notes. And sometime after the meeting, if you agree to be scribe, what you're committing to is creating an electronic copy of what happened during that, in the way this like a secretary would take notes during a board meeting, for example, in creating something that can be shared with the group. Lori.
Just so you know, I have been taking notes this morning.
Oh, excellent.
So
I see you have one of those little pad things.
I am scribing right now in the general discussions. So I will be happy to share those notes.
Okay. Thank you. Oh.
Kim, I'm just wondering how this is being funded initially. Like, for example, the website work. Is your group handling that?
So far, we've been fortunate that everything has been donated. Ben will have expenses going forward, and we'll take that on a Donna model. So. I'll have a little bit more to say about that this afternoon, but there will be, that's the initial idea. Thank you for bringing that up, Ruby.
I'm wondering about the relationship between Ben and Inter-Sangha, these meetings. Are organizations automatically part of Ben, or does an organization choose to opt in or opt out? And if an organization is not part of BIN, could it still be invited to Inner Sangha and that sort of relationship? And one other question is, has there been discussion of sort of that operating structure of the board? Is it a consensus board, a majoritarian board, top-down, you know, or peer board, or anything like that? And those are just because those are my areas of interest.
Those are wonderful questions. I like your question first about the relationship between Inner Sangha and BIN, in that last year's meeting, we had the Inner Sangha meeting, and then BIN was like a breakout session. We had a little bit in the evening, and then we had a lunchtime session the next day to talk about it. And it was almost like a session, you know, like all the other sessions that were going on. And I found that I was interested to notice that during the course of this year, my conception of them has switched, so that I see BIN as, in my mind, it exists already, and that Inner Sangha is one of the things that it does. So there's been a reversal of that. As far as opting in, opting out, membership kind of thing, it's such a big area. I'm trying to think how to answer that concisely. First of all, the Inner Sangha meeting would not be totally exclusive, that you have to, you know, put a stamp somewhere and say that you're part of BIN to come to the meeting. I don't see that as a useful way to operate. At the same time, there is an idea, and that gained considerable support on the survey. I didn't go over these results exactly, but of having some kind of an official membership in BIN that might even include a membership fee, for example, by group. So there would be an opportunity to explicitly opt in to BIN through that kind of commitment. And I think then you also touched on the structure of the board. That is being created as we speak and has not been decided.
Just a suggestion based on what you just said. Perhaps the fee, or whatever you want to call it, could be based on the number of people in each group, or something, just, you know, a maximum based on that.
I think that would make sense, to have a tiered structure of some kind. Yep.
Are you planning to have a Spanish interface in the website and for other languages?
That would be great. What I can say to that is that we've already compiled a number of resources of Dharma in Spanish. I've been kind of just keeping in my various lists of everything that I have. I have somewhere a list of Dharma resources in Spanish. And if the interface to the site could actually be done in Spanish, I think that would make a lot of sense. So maybe somebody from your group could help us. So,
thank you
very much. Yes. Would appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Well, this was certainly just an overview, an introduction. I hope that the conversations about this will continue throughout the weekend, and if you have other ideas, by all means, bring them up. This would be a great time and place. So we'll transition now.